come to you this morning. We all come to you this morning. We're looking to you. We thank you, Jesus, for being our Savior. And I'm looking especially to the Holy Spirit. One of his job descriptions, you know, sometimes you think, oh my gosh, I can't get another thing on my plate. Well, the Holy Spirit tops you. And he's called the counselor and the teacher. So how about we welcome him here this morning to teach us, to speak to us. And it also says that my sheep hear my voice. So everybody have ears to hear today what the Spirit of God would say in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Now, some of you, if you see someone sleeping, then you can kick them because their ears are probably shutting down, right? So you can get, right? And I do know, there was a dear friend of mine, he'd come in here and he'd sleep all the time, but it was probably the only time out of 7 days a week that he would sit down. And I thought, why is such a soothing voice? No, stay away. This is good. All right. Okay, first question. Have you ever gotten so smart in life that you thought, wow, I wish I know what I know now than I was younger? Anybody raise your hand? Now, if you're young, don't worry, you'll get smart, and you'll get smart, and you go, man, wish I know, because you're older. Raising kids. How many of you are grandparents? And how many of you think, wow, I wish I know what I know now when I was raising my kids? Now, you grandparents are a breed. Okay, but I've had many of them say, man, number one, I wouldn't have been such a workaholic. I wouldn't have been so hard on them, or maybe I would have been hard on them. But how many of you thought, you know, gosh, I wish I know what I know now? I go to bed every night and say that, right? I wish I know what I know now. So what's this have to do with my message? You know, what I know now in my walk with Christ, with Jesus, I wish I knew what I know now. And anybody? When I first got saved, everybody's telling me everything. You need to know this, and you need to know that. And I'm like, la, 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 you know? But now, I've been walking with the Lord almost 40 years, because I was so young, you know. But I did find out, as I started reading my Bible regularly and studying it on top of that, and because you know what? That's what Christians do that grow. If you don't do, you don't grow, all right? So that's what a Christian, a Christ-centered person does. And I found out that there was battles going on in my life. And anybody ever have some battles going on in your life? Well, when I first got saved, I thought it was just me. Man, I got this stuff happening in my life. And then as I started talking to people, I found out they had battles going on in their life, stuff. And then when I started reading my Bible, I found out there are people in the Bible that had some of the same stuff going on in their life. Anybody ever read your Bible and say, wow, sounds like me, yeah? Well, then, do you remember reading the book of Romans? Right around Romans 6, 7, and 8, the author is got the guy called Paul. He wrote some stuff, and I was like, whoa, sounds like me. And right around chapter 7, he says, you know, I want to do what's right, but I keep doing what's wrong. Anybody want to raise your hand? I want to do what's right, but I keep doing what's wrong. Stuff like I remember, especially in my marriage, I wanted to do what's right, and then I go, bam, I'm in the pit again. Darn, I wanted to do it right, and I do get my mouth usually got me in the pit. All right, does anybody ever have any of that? I want to do what's right, but So here's this guy, Paul. The Apostle Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He was like me. I want to do what's right, but I keep doing what's wrong. So how many of you have some struggles in areas of your life? You're all the rest of liars. Right? How many of you have struggles in areas of your life? Okay? Anybody that happens to you? Well, listen, this is the thing I found out, is I'm a day older and a whole lot smarter. We all have areas in our life where we struggle. We call them battles or trials, whatever nice word. I'm going to use the word battle a lot today. We all have areas that we have. And here's what I found out. If you're taking notes, write this down. Now listen, it's not because you have to write it down, but you write it down, it's another part of your five senses. It helps it stay stuck in your brain. So write it down, all right? I found out that everybody has three places where they have battles going on. Raise your hand if you're everybody. All right, that means you all have three places. Okay, the first place, thank you, Joyce Myers. The battle is in the mind. Yep. Now, it's really interesting. When I first got born again, I didn't care. I never stopped and thought, oh, I better stop thinking that. I didn't care. When I was not born again. Let me say, when I was not born, I didn't think about the things that came out of my mouth. They just came. But after I was around the block a couple of times, I realized there's this battle going on, and it's in my brain, in my mind. You know, I'd be thinking, what? Where did that thought come from? And sometimes I think, oh my gosh, I'm probably not even a Christian, because you should see what's running around in my brain. Sometimes crazy thoughts were going in my brain. Anybody have some crazy thoughts that went in your brain? Because not anymore, right? You're all washed up. Okay, I used to have really crazy thoughts. So the first one is the battle that's going on in our brain or mind. And then I found out the second area is there's a battle that goes on with my flesh, my body. I found out it would get me in trouble. My flesh. Anybody get your body get you in trouble? Ooh, no stories today on that one. Okay, so matter of fact, I found that there's actually really a major battle going on with your flesh. All right, major. And I won't even tell you what I would do with this flesh of mine. But listen, the Bible calls it the flesh nature. And what that says is this nature was, well, thank you, Adam, got contaminated. Okay, it became a sin nature. Thank you, Adam. And we all have a flesh nature. And it's interesting, though. The day I got saved, this flesh didn't get straightened out. Darn. Such as, you think, oh, well, Pastor D, you know, we all got, you know, everything perfect when we got born again. No, it's like I'm driving down the road and this nature, because someone cuts me off, wants to do some sign language and beepity beeps. That's that nature. Okay? Now, this one has happened. Of course, nobody ever did that. One day, my kids are doing stuff that I've told them 100 times. Knock it off. And nicely. And then that was it. That was the 100th time. Bing. And I start screaming like a crazy lady. Wah! And chasing them. And then I realize my windows are open. That is that nature thing. That flesh, okay? That's my flesh. Nobody ever had that happen, right? Go crazy on your kids? Matter of fact, this lady said this once. And you know, listen, as a parent, you are not perfect. I didn't get the perfect manual. So this lady told me this story, and it was about preteens. Man, it still gets exciting around then. And her kid did something, and really I think her mouth, the kid's mouth went off. And it just pushed the mom, beep, over the head. And she, smacked her mouth. Now, you're not supposed to smack their mouth. You're supposed to smack their behind. And then the mom did a takedown. Bam! Okay, now you're not supposed to do that. But that flesh! And the kid says, you're the devil. No, that was the mom's flesh. That wasn't me. It wasn't me. But I'll tell you what. I have thrown applesauce on a kid's head. That was my flesh. Okay, so we've got battle going on in our mind. We've got a battle going on in our flesh, right? Right, right. And then the last one that we all have, area that we all have trouble with, a battle goes on with the enemy. The enemy. Everybody say enemy. And listen, he's out to take you down. All right? So we have these three areas. Okay, we face the battle in our mind. We face the battle in our flesh. We face the battle with that enemy. And so what I want to say is we all have these three battles. Everybody have those going on in your life? Till you hit heaven, it's still going to pop up. But listen, you all have these same battles, but you all have this Bible. How many of you have this same Bible? How many of you have a bunch of the Bibles? How many have a Bible on your app this morning that you're going to use, okay? Yeah. Okay, so I finally learned that, and I don't tell them, put your phone away. All right. But listen, in the Bible, which it gives us instructions, right? Does that Bible give you instructions for life? Yep. All right. This is what it tells me. That God sent his son to the earth, and he sent Jesus to help me in the battles. Thank you. Thank you. All right? So when you decided to be a wholehearted follower of Jesus, that's my last couple messages, right? You decided to that he would be the center of your life, that you decided that you would actually start reading this Bible, and then you would even decide to obey it for the most part. You'd try, right? This is what Jesus did for us. He did something. Everybody said, he did something? Yeah. He decided he'd give you some armor. Because you have battles going on. That's the love of God. That's the love of God. He would give you armor. Okay, everybody say armor. Real loud. Armor. All right. Now, he decided to give you armor because you need some protection. You need some protection because you've got battles going on. Yep. Pastor D just went over my battles. Right. So he gave you armor. Now, here's the problem. We have to find out we have it, and then we have to find out how to use it. So some of you read your Bible and said, well, yeah, I have it, but I don't know how to use it. So we have to find out we have it, and we have to use it. So the next 2 weeks, I'm going to talk about this armor, all right? And I'm going to talk about the armor that God supplies us with, and that it will protect us through life. My flesh won't make my life so despicable. Hallelujah. So John chapter 10, NIV says, John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I came that they may have life and have it more, full, abundantly. So Jesus said, I've come to give you life. But then he also told you the rest of the story about these battles. He says, I've come, but also the enemy's come. All right? The enemy's come to give you some battles, to take you down, right? Now, turn over to John chapter 16, verse 33. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified if you don't have it. All right. Because this is what Jesus said. He was kind of hitting the, I call it the last phase of his ministry on earth. And he was just shoving things down their throat, their disciples, so they'd be ready when he would leave. And this is one of the things he was shoving down their throat. John 16:33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you'll have tribulation, trials, distresses, frustrations. Does that sound like a battle? So I could cross that all off. He says, in the world you're going to have some battles. All right? And we talked about three areas, battles. You're going to have some battles. But then he says, but be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident. Certain, undaunted, for I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of its power to harm you. Okay, that sounds like protection. That sounds like protection. So he knew that you were going to have some battles, but he was going to make sure he offered you some protection. That's a good Jesus. That is a good Savior. All right? Now, turn over to Psalm 91, would you, please? See, I remember to say please. Getting so polite these days. Hallelujah. Now, He said, I'm going to offer you protection. And so when he said armor, don't you always think of protection? How many of you know what armor all is? You spray that on the plastic in your car, and it's supposed to protect it. And you spray it on before you want to sell it, so they think you're really giving a good car, and it's just not. But okay, getting back for the protection, okay? Protection. So this armor that Jesus said I was going to offer you, give you, was for protection, all right? I know these are basic things, but it's going to kick you in a few minutes. I was going to say something else, but that sounded better. Okay. Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Mighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress. Does that sound like protection? Uh-huh. My God, in Him I trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. Sound like some protection? Okay. And He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you'll take refuge. And I always like, a friend of mine was from the country and had critters, little chickies. And they said, just picture those little chickies underneath this big mama hen. All right. Does that sound like protection? Yeah. All right. And then verse 16, with long life. Well, forget that one. But that's a good one. That's my favorite one. Some days I stomp my foot. You said with long life you would satisfy me and show you your salvation. Okay? But all of that talks about protection, doesn't it? All right? Now, how much do you believe of that? Do you believe that? Do you believe it's true or a fairy tale? That's what God said He'd give us. Now, let me back up a little bit and tell you a story about me. When I first got saved, probably about a year later, I started reading the Bible. I had a Bible. Then I found out you should read the Bible. Shouldn't just sit on a shelf or in the back of your car. And I started reading that Psalm 91, verse 1. And this is where it says, He who dwells in the secret place. And I had this million-dollar thought. Where's the secret place? Oh, yeah, it's a secret. Well, how am I going to find it if it's a secret? That's how smart I was. And then somebody told me, the day you accepted Jesus, and this is the whole truth and nothing but the truth, the day you accepted Jesus Christ to be Lord of your life, He lets you into the secret place. Man. So I stopped running around trying to find this. You know, Indiana Jones looking here. Okay, so listen, you have access. It's open. You get to go to the secret place. And you get to go into the heavenlies and you get to sit down. All right? Isn't that good? Ooh, that's good, Pastor D. But in that secret place, especially when you look at Psalm 91, it says, I'm protected. I'm protected in there. Did you put 1 + 1 come up with 2? That's what it said. All right? Now, then it also says in the New Testament, this is where we're going, in Ephesians chapter 6, you can open up, put your finger in there, and your notes, you're going to take notes. It also says in the New Testament, that was Old Testament, Psalm 91, the New Testament, Jesus says, I was going to give you some armor. That's for protection. That's for your protection as you go through these battles in life. All right? Now, we're going to read Ephesians 6, starting at verse 10. But I want to give you some background. You just flip your pages, get there. What you need to know is the background. Paul is sitting in a prison in Rome, all right? And he got thrown in prison, not because he committed any crime. Well, nowadays you wonder what they do, but he didn't commit any crime. He's there because he was a servant of the Lord. He got thrown in there because he was preaching the gospel, all right? So he's sitting in this prison, and by the way, it would make your county look like the Taj Mahal, their prisons. All right, so he's sitting in prison, and he's looking every day at these Roman soldiers. Every day they'd march back and forth. Every day they'd bug him or whatever, I don't know. Every day, and he's looking at him, he's looking at him, he's looking at him. And one day, now this is the D. Cashman version, okay, because I always go, one day, the Lord starts speaking to him because he's his sheep, and my sheep hear my voice, and a stranger's voice will not follow. And he's probably asking. So the Lord starts talking, the God starts talking to him, and he says, you see those guys? You see those Roman soldiers? How they put on their armor? Paul's like, yeah, every day. Every day I watch them. I watch them with their armor on. I watch them put them on. He said, Paul, I've given armor to those that would be Christians. And if they put it on, they'll be protected like those Romans. Okay? Can you see it? So Paul starts writing. Okay? He starts writing this to the Ephesians and stuff. So we're going to start reading. We're going to start reading in verse 10. Whoops. Turn over. D. Cashman, here we go. 6, verse 10. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Put on the whole armor of God. That's real simple. Write that down. Put on the whole armor of God. So question, where does the armor come from? That's right. The armor comes from God. That makes it supernatural. So he wasn't saying, put on this stuff. I read it children's ministry. He was talking about supernatural stuff, but God showed him what Roman soldiers wore. All right? Put on the whole armor of God, number one. Number two, it says, you put it on. Now, Creflo is not going to put it on for you. Joyce Myers is not going to put it on for you. I am not going to put it on for you. Some of you think I do, and you call me all the time. But it says, you put on the whole armor of God. Everybody say, put it on. And by the way, it's not automatic. Because it says, put it on. Put it on. Now, it also says, put on the whole armor of God. All right, let me give you an example. Especially this past winter, and you want to send your little kitties outside to play, they don't go walking out the door butt naked with their mittens on, do they? No, we dress them, and we put snow pants on, a snow jacket on, hats on, boots on, mittens on. They put on the whole bunch to go outside, right? So this says, put on the whole armor of God, not just one piece. And we have some people, well, I'm saved. I've got on my helmet of salvation. And you know, I like to say they run around butt naked. All right? So it gives directions. Put on the whole armor, not just one piece. So why? Everybody, why? You can ask why. Well, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you will be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You know, I love asking God. I'll read some things and I'll go, well, what's that all about? And if I get quiet long enough, shut my mouth. And sometimes it takes years. The Lord will give me these answers. This one's real easy. Just read the next part. Why put on the whole armor? So that you'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Okay, who knows Wile E. Coyote? And who's he a pain in the neck to? Roadrunner, okay? He's always trying to trick him up, all right? Well, you got a devil who's trying to trick you up on the road of life. It's his mission to deceive, to steal, to kill, destroy. So this is why you put on the whole armor of God, because you've got this going on, right? Now, the next one. Okay, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Okay, you don't wrestle against your ex. You don't wrestle against your in-laws. You don't wrestle against your kids, your spouse. You don't get up in the morning and say, oh, I get to look the devil in the face. No, don't say that. Because we don't wrestle against humans, flesh and blood. We don't wrestle against each other. Some of you said, well, you should have been here this morning. All right. No, let's read again. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. So who do we wrestle against? Against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Wow. Okay. So what do we do with all that? What do we do about all that? Well, he tells you in verse 13, ready? Therefore, take up, he tells you again, the whole armor. All right? Take up the whole armor. So wait a minute. The armor of God, I put it on, and it protects me from all this stuff, all these battles? I'm just reading what's wrote. All right? How about if I put this armor on, I'm protected? Is that what you got? Is that the way you read it? All right? You mean I'm protected from all this junk? You mean I don't have to be beat up in life? You mean if I put this whole armor on, wow. So everybody say, put on your armor. Put it on. For crying out loud, put your armor on. Used to yell at my kids, why crying out loud would you do this? I can just see God just shake it. No, he's not. He's good thing he's not D. Cashman. I'll tell you. Okay. Over in Luke, Jesus said something. He said, occupy till I come. Now, what do occupying forces do? They enforce what's already won. Occupying forces. All right? The battle was won, and then the occupying forces come in, and they just enforce. Well, who won the battle for you? So what? You're the occupying army today and every day. You don't look it. I don't feel like it. No. Occupy. All right? That means you put your armor on. And whoops, tripping over here. And you're going to occupy. Isn't that great? All right. Now, Ephesians 6, verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor that you may be able to stand, withstand in the evil day. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put the breastplate of righteousness on, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel. Hey, Carol, why don't you put that up so they have a visual? Thank you, darling. I appreciate that. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. All right, now, verse 14. Look at this. Well, first off, now that you're a believer, you have been given the whole armor for protection, right? You got it? Nobody arguing with me? You got it? You got it? You got it? Okay, now, instead of being beat up and having these battles, this says, I won't. Now, it doesn't say I'm not going to have a battle. I found that out probably the day after I got saved. It doesn't say you're not going to have a battle, but it says you'll win. All right? So, now, verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girded with the truth, put on the breastplate, blah, 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 having your feet shod with the gospel. Okay, 16. And above all, take the shield of faith, which will be able to quench all. The shield, take this armor, and it'll quench all the fiery darts. How many? Isn't that wonderful? I didn't write this. I just love this. You love this? Isn't that good? All right. So that means you put this on, the whole armor, every day, and you can start living that life Jesus said in John 10:10, the abundant life. All right? Awful quiet out here. All righty. So all. And verse 17. Well, we already read that. All right, I want to do it again. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer, supplications in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Okay, what's he talking about? He says, you know what he's saying? There are all these pieces of armor that if you put them on, they'll keep you covered, protected, and walk in victory for every area of your life. All these pieces, you put on the whole armor, it will protect you for every area of your life. That's the way I read it. All right? That's good. Okay? Now, We only have a few minutes, so I'm going to go fast. Here we go. How many pieces of armor are listed? 7. Some of them are for offensive, some of them are for defensive. Okay, defensive, your breastplate, your helmet, they defend you. Oh, your helmet. How many of you ride motorcycles and wear a helmet? Don't raise your hand if you don't. Okay, you wear them because it'll protect you better, keep you safer. All right, and if you don't, I'm going to introduce you to my friend Gabrielle, who is a physical therapist at Health South. She will have a holy cow on you. She'll walk you through Health South and say, didn't wear one. So this is the mama saying, you put that helmet on, okay? Okay, so getting back to the armor of God, punch your spouse, say, see, I told you. All right. These defensive armor that we have is to protect you, right? It's real simple. Then they have some that are offensive, and they're for defeating things. They're for fighting things. And then we have one that's called neutral. Look at verse 14. Ready? Stand therefore, having girded your waists with truth. All right, now, the Romans called it a loin belt. A loin belt. And the belt, nobody really saw. Okay? Finally found one that would go over everything here today. Here. Okay? And this belt that they wore was not as pretty as the rest of the armor. Carol, can you throw up? Oh, that didn't come out. It's a little fuzzy. That's okay. Their helmets and their breastplates were very decorative. All right? But this piece of armor, kind of ragged looking. All right? But this was the most important, vital piece of armor. Pastor D, you just pulled my leg. No, I'm not. You know why? Because most all of that armor hooked onto it. Their little shields, their swords, even had a pouch where they'd stick their arrows in because they didn't have machine guns back then. All right? And even their breastplate, this real pretty thing, would hook on different parts. So to a Roman soldier, this was the most important. Not so pretty. He didn't write home, Ma, you should see this gorgeous belt they gave me. Nope. But it was the most important thing. All right? Now, it's called the loin belt or gird your... Okay, I'm going to stumble over that. Let me read it for you. Therefore, having girded your waist with, okay, therefore, having girded your waist with truth. The truth is the gospel. The truth is the word of God. The truth sometimes just isn't too exciting. All right, you get up in the morning. Nobody's ever had one of these days. You drag your sorry butt to the sofa with a cup of coffee and you start reading. And it's just not real exciting. I've had some of those days, but I do it anyway, all right? Matter of fact, some people go, it's just a book, and you just do it, you do it, you do it. But listen, it's what, okay, let me put it this way. What happens in those Roman soldiers if they didn't have their belt? They didn't have their belt even in place? That would hold things in the right place. How many of you know what a girdle is? How many of you know what the 21st century thing is called? Spanx! You have those Spanx on, it just holds everything in place, right? You can laugh. Now for a guy, you have a suit on, you've got your shirt tucked in, your tie, and you have your belt. Usually people are going to say, hey, I like your tie, because that's really lavender or something like that, all right? But you take off that belt, you might just lose your drawers, okay? So this belt is really important, right? All right, what do you think about the Word of God? What do you think about the Word of God, all right? Some days it is just you start doing the begats, Leviticus, begats, or whatever. It's just like, oh my gosh. Especially if you do read through the Bible. Like, I do the read the first and the last. All right? And it's just not too exciting. But when you make the Word of God the central part of your life, what happens is roots go deep. And so when the storms start blowing, you don't blow over. If you make this the central part of your life, all right? And if you make this Word daily the center part of your life, when the battles go on and your brain's going tilt, 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 but if you've made the Word of God, you've hid it in your heart, guess what? You're not going to have, I was trying to say a nice word. You're not going to have your brain meltdown, okay? You're not going to have a brain meltdown because you've made this a central part of your life. Now, I just want to say this. This is a little feisty right now. It is not okay to be ignorant of the Word of God. Oh, I'll just call Ruth up. She knows the Word. She'll teach me, preach me, and pray for me. It is not okay. And I love you, man. But 90% of the time I hear this out of man. Well, I just don't like to read. So I don't read my Bible. That is not okay. Man, this one guy, he said that. And I was with his wife. We teamed up. And I was like, I'll find an easy reader. All right, I did. I gave him the Message Bible. And glory be, hallelujah. He said, wow, I like that. But listen, it is not okay to be ignorant of the Word. You're going to get shot. And we got to run around and put you together again. Gee whiz. All right. So if you don't put the belt of truth on first, if you remove the Word of God from its proper place, I will guarantee across my heart that your life's going to come apart. How many of you know people like that? Don't raise your hand if it's you, but I know people like that. You know, they're like, they come in one day and I was like looking at their Bibles like dust on it. Oh yeah, I found it in the back of my car. It's been there a month. Okay, is that the center part of their life? Is that a daily routine? No, okay. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. We're going to pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you for your Word. We thank you that it is armor, that it protects us, and we choose from this day forth to make it center, daily, routine, the main thing. Amen. In Jesus' name. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, be that sweet nudge, not my wife, not my spouse, but be that sweet nudge that reminds me, calls me to put this first in my life, to put on my armor so that I, when the battles come, I will occupy because I'm just enforcing the win in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I just want to remind you that next week we have David Fleming, and you don't want to miss him. You don't want to miss him.